It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
Better than this, guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your host. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network and we're brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports wagering information. They've got everything you can imagine over at Bet Online. They have the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends. They have live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Of course, there's every sport. So head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BELEAVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Gentlemen, and especially Chris, a very happy International Polar Bear Day to you.
Oh, National Pete Alonso Day. Love to hear it, Joe. Thank you for bringing that to the table. Yes.
And for relevance for Kyle, happy Pokemon Day to you. Happy National Strawberry Day, whatever you choose to celebrate.
Okay, so little bummed you skipped over me with the hello.
Oh,
first.
No.
That's fine. It's we're bonding over the Mets, I suppose. And I'm glad you mentioned Pokemon Day, ironically enough, because there's some new product called Pokemon Sleep. And they just sent out a tweet on the timeline, and I watched the whole advertisement, and I really wish I hadn't, because I watched the whole advertisement and I'm no closer to knowing what the actual product is than what I was before I watched it.
Kyle, I'm old enough to remember spending time with you somewhat relatively recently and you playing some type of game where you were looking for Pokemons in the places that
Pokemon
we
Go.
Yeah. Kyle was playing that. I think you may still may. He still may.
I don't have it on my phone anymore.
Did you see in conjunction with the release of Pokemon Sleep, which by the way is a game that is a sleep tracker where you interact with the Pokemon in the app by sleeping. That's how you interact with said Pokemon.
This I got a chance here, boys.
You do. But in addition to that,
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
They have launched a new device, the Pokemon Go Plus.
Plus plus. Oh, wow.
It is a Pokemon Go companion device. There's a video for it.
Well, you can see why Pokemon is coming through with their latest stuff.
Because it's Pokemon Day
today. It's Pokemon Day. Speaking of latest stuff and back to Polar Bear Day, I like this. I like the pitch clock, boys. I like the pitch clock. Some of these spring training things, 15 seconds. I like the efficiency. I felt like I was watching some actual pace here.
Still don't care. I don't care.
I went to a spring training game yesterday. Got to see the new pitch clock in action. Got to see the new bases in action.
Don't care. Don't care. Still don't care.
Just keep going. Chris. It won't stop.
It was the game still took 3+ hours.
Don't care.
Because the game that
care.
I
oh good
the game
oh good
the game that
I watched a 20-second clip on Twitter looked great to me.
The game that I decided to go to had a final score of 11-6. So you know if you can't pitch well, it doesn't matter if you have a pitch clock. Okay, you have to be able to get guys out.
I'm still not watching it, no matter what. But
you say
thought
that.
I'd at least
I know what April brings.
I've come to acceptance that I have no bandwidth left. In me, all right. It's work. It's being a dad and a husband, and that's all I got time for.
But that's not true because I will get a text message 3 weeks into the season. Hey, is this guy any good? Because it'll be a guy that Joe doesn't know that's on the team.
Because I loosely pay attention.
Have a chance to watch it.
Right. Loosely pay attention.
So
Christopher.
That will always continue. I will always get a. We like this guy. Yeah. We like this Lindor guy.
Yeah, because I got to celebrate when they win the World Series, Chris. I have to celebrate as if I've been in the weeds for the last 20 years.
You know what's funny is I found myself in that position of trying to find the bandwidth to care when the Braves finally had the breakthrough because I grew up a Braves fan, and the Braves like lost in the wild card round every year, and I'm like, all right, well, like I don't have the bandwidth to care about baseball, and then they finally had the breakthrough they won 2 years ago, and like I was like casually like tuning in like seventh inning or later with a couple of World Series games, like trying to find a way to care. And I'm like, I just don't. I just can't get into it the way that I can't imagine that I would if my favorite teams were playing for championships. So speaking of favorite teams, Chris, do you have any other baseball thoughts?
No, I was going to move us along to the show, but it appears you're going to try to do that. So please go right ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm going to move us along to football. We're 2 weeks into the XFL season, which means we need to formally plant our flags in the ground for a team.
Oh, I still have watched the same amount.
Doesn't matter how much you've watched. You just got to pick a team.
Does any team have Steve Spurrier as their head coach?
No, they don't.
Oh.
I think I'm going for the Brahmas.
The Brahmas? What city is this affiliated with?
San Antonio, the Brahmas.
That's the one where they're getting the championship game because like 25,000 people went to a game or something?
I don't know if that's the reason why they're getting the game, but I know they're named after the Brahma Bulls, a.k.a. The Rock. I know their gold uniforms are sweet.
They're named after who?
The Rock. Brahma Bull. The Brahma Bull. That's what his tattoo on his shoulder was.
Do you worry about this? I mean, like, the owner of the league is like has a team named after him? Are we sure about the competitive integrity?
Hey, Joe, he owns all the teams, in case you were curious.
I understand, but it's not like we have the Washington Roger Goodells. You know what I mean? We
could have had the Orlando People's Eyebrows, but we don't. It's just the Brahmas.
Don't get it.
I'm on the DC Defenders bandwagon. DC Defenders.
Oh, okay,
baby.
Chris. Jack Cohn was slinging the pill this weekend, so put me on for the San Antonio Brahmas. That's my team.
I can't make a choice. I don't have the information necessary to make a choice.
Joe, do you think I had the
decide?
Joe, I looked at the standings and I picked one of the three undefeated teams in the XFL.
Can you name the teams? I don't even know the teams.
Well, then you could do some research. You got the DC Defenders.
What kind of football guy are you?
I'm a NFL football guy.
The DC
to yourself.
The DC Defenders, which are claimed. The St. Louis Battlehawks are also 2-0.
It won't be that.
The Seattle Sea Dragons, they're 0-2. The Vegas Vipers, they're 0-2.
No chance. I watched that. Is that the Luis Castillo team? Not
Vegas.
Luis Perez.
I believe that's Vegas, right?
Oh, okay. They're out.
The Houston Roughnecks are 2-0.
They got good unis.
The Arlington Renegades are 1-1. The San Antonio Brahmas, which have been claimed, are 1-1. And the Orlando Guardians are 0-2.
Hey, and I think Houston's Wade Phillips' team.
Oh, yeah, that's my team. Houston Roughnecks. I'm in.
There you go.
Me and Wade.
Okay, Houston, okay. San Antonio, and DC.
Oh, I hate
this. Mad there's no Philly team.
These are bad. We got panels on the tops of the uniforms.
You know who has good uniforms? The Battle Hawks.
Yeah. Okay, I'll be there. I'm a Roughnecks fan. There you go.
Great. Flags planted. It's formal. Anytime there's a new league, you give yourself 2 weeks, and then you got to pick a lane.
We've had to do this a lot lately. Can't wait to do it for the next one.
Well, we have USFL back for a second season, so I don't know if you picked a team for that or not, but when that season starts up, we'll go ahead and formally declare our intentions there as well. Do we want to talk about the NFL?
I would love to.
Little NFL talk popping into the chat on Monday like...
Wow.
I've been sitting on that soundbite for the entire time.
Glad you pulled it off, man.
Let's talk about the Chicago Bears, yeah?
Yeah, I heard Kyle, they could pick a player, they could trade it, they could do so many different things, Kyle. It's all on the table.
Yeah, they could pick any player that they want.
Right.
Or they could trade the pick to any team that they want for any level of compensation that they're offered. But my question for you, Joe Marino, is what should the Chicago Bears do with the number one overall pick? Because the ESPN has exhausted methodically the Justin Fields trade Justin Fields or draft Bryce Young at number one and rabble, 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 right? Like it's the new, I feel like Justin Fields is getting the Tua Tagovailoa treatment from last offseason of just anybody but Justin and anybody but Tua. And
isn't that weird?
These guys.
Those are really different players too.
It's very odd what players we choose to latch on to this and make this big thing about, but it's been the Justin Fields thing, right? And the low-hanging fruit is, well, obviously the Bears have the number one overall pick, despite the fact that I would rather have Justin Fields than any quarterback in this year's class.
I was sitting there brewing on this hot take, and my hot take is that Justin Fields is QB1 in this class, right? So I'm pretty good with Justin Fields as my quarterback, especially with a little time on task under his belt in my operation. So what should the Chicago Bears do? Kyle, I think they should trade this pick. And I think they should be willing to go all the way back as far as 9. I'd do it. You're trading away from Jalen Carter and Will Anderson, but you're also getting a whole lot more for moving back that far. So I'm interested in going anywhere back. I'd go to the Jets pick, knowing what that would cost them.
You're still going to get one of the three best offensive linemen if you're at 13.
And loads of draft capital. Loads of it. Then I can be flexible and trade it for veterans. I can really dictate the draft and move up and down the board. I am leveraging this number one pick. Big shout out to Lovie Smith for this. And I'm going to have all the resources that I want now and for the next several seasons. There's no chance I'm just sitting there and picking a player.
So I am inclined to agree with you. I think Chicago taking the best available offer to them and not necessarily making that decision in the consideration of how far back down the board are we going? Because it doesn't really matter. And I know Bears fans have kind of romanticized, and I know for a fact Brian Perez has romanticized with this because he talked to me about it in the Charlotte International Airport when we were getting ready to fly down to the Senior Bowl this year. He wants to trade back from 1-4 and then 4-7 and then 7-9. He's like, oh, we're going to trade back.
Well, keep going. Go to 12.
Right. But
go to 16.
Let's be real. How frequently does that happen?
Never.
Because the incentive that you have to trade up diminishes as players come off the board. So if you're willing to go back to 13, or if you're willing to go back to 9, or if you're willing to go back to 7, just go there and take them for all they're worth. My question in your mind, in both of your minds, what package of compensation do you think is realistic that the Bears can net in return?
For
what are they
spot?
Getting? Say they go to 9. Say they go to Carolina. What package of picks are they getting from the Carolina Panthers to go back to 9?
3 ones, a 2, and a 3. So I get 9, the next two first round picks, 40 this year, and their third round pick in 2024. Which mirrors the Trey Lance trade, but a little bit more expensive with the non-first round picks. We're talking about going to number one.
I'm taking any offer that gives me 3 first round picks. And if I have multiple, then I will take the offer that drops me back the least amount of distance on the board. But if you could tell me I can get 3 ones for the number one overall pick and an unproven player, I'm doing that all day long. That's a no-brainer. Chris, do you think it's possible? Do you think 3 ones is too ambitious of an expectation for Bears fans to set?
I don't think they'll get 3 ones. I think they'll get 2 ones and 2 twos. I think that's what they're looking at.
Why do you think that?
I think it takes 2 to tango here, correct? Right? Like the Bears can say out loud via Adam Schefter that they are leaning towards moving the pick and that they are considering all their options, but like they want to move the pick. A team has to be willing to move up and pay that expensive price tag. And I think teams are going to balk at the idea of 3 first round picks because I think they're going to default to, okay, stay in the spot. Go ahead. Stay in the spot. And they'll call the Bears bluff in that regard. So I think it's 2 ones and 2 twos, and I think that's probably the peak of what the offer will look like.
This conversation reminds me so much of the conversation, I believe in, was it 19, the Chase Young year, where Washington was picking 2, and we had all these conversations about, do you sit there and pick Chase Young? And I specifically remember a take out there that was, the player with the greatest chance of being a Hall of Famer from that draft class was Chase Young. And we talked about, is your objective of the NFL draft collecting Hall of Fame players or collecting talent, or is it to use the resources at your disposal to build the best possible football team that allows you to go compete? And I remember advocating for Washington being able to move out of that pick, and they ultimately didn't. And I think with the benefit of hindsight, especially on the heels of us having the conversation about fifth-year options last week, where we were very, very undecided. In fact, Kyle, I think you said no on this. I think they would have liked the idea of trading down and having a whole lot more in terms of players at their disposal. And I draw a lot of parallels to this decision that the Chicago Bears have to make.
Wee-woo.
I don't know what it is. Is it a real wee-woo?
I found it. I wrote this story in 2019 for Draft Network. And I have desperately been searching Google for it since we got here. And the title is Let's Make a Deal, a history of recent trade-ups for quarterbacks in the top five. Mm-hmm. And it is a look at recent history of the packages that teams have received to trade out of the top five for a team that is going up to get a quarterback. I'm going to mention the trades, and I want you guys to reflect on what you remember about the deals. Sam Darnold, Mitchell Trubisky, and Robert Griffin, the third, were trades since 2009 that featured a team moving up from inside the top six picks to go get a quarterback. What do you guys remember about those trades?
Which one? You mentioned three.
Any of them. Darnold? I think we remember Darnold was three twos.
Three twos. It was a defensive move, right? They went to three from six to three.
Yep.
And we figured that was our Gettleman's picking Saquon at two, and the Jets can live with whatever QB2 they get at three. That's what I remember.
So they traded three picks worth approximately 3,500 points on the traditional draft value chart. So a little more than the first overall pick. To go up to number three overall from number six. Mitchell Trubisky, who remembers this deal? We were all together for this one. This was
It was a defensive trade.
Chris?
I remember this one, yeah.
Why do you remember this one?
Because I screwed it up for the live show that we did. Solomon Thomas, Bears legend.
Right. So Bears legend nobody else knows about.
The Bears deal with San Francisco flip spots from three to two. And the Bears sent number three, third and fourth round picks in the same draft, and a third round pick the following year to move up one spot and exchange spots with the Bears. It's another defensive trade. But then there is the RG3 trade. This one is
in a box of its own, just in a tier of its own.
It's the dream come true for the Chicago Bears, though. Because this wasn't even to the number one overall pick. Because Andrew Luck went one overall. This was the number two overall pick. The Washington Commanders traded their 2012 first round pick at number six overall, their 2012 second round pick at 39 overall, and their first round pick in each of the next two seasons to move up four spots. So three ones and a two to move up four spots and get a quarterback. If you're the Bears, you can only hope somebody falls in love with a quarterback to the degree in which the Commanders fell in love with RG3.
Tell me my package isn't crazy from 9-1. Looking at that trade and looking at the Trey Lance trade.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because there is one trade as of the time of writing this article. Remember, this was written in the fall of 2019, and I was very much going through it because I was Dolphins fan getting ready for the Dolphins to pick a quarterback, and they won a couple games, and I'm like, I don't know how far they're going to go. They ended up winning five games. Picked at number five. Carson Wentz is the only example as of the writing of this article a few years back, and I don't remember any that have happened off the top of my head in the time since. Not into the top five. From pick 7 to 10, the Carson Wentz trade is the lone example of a team trading up into the top five, and they went to number 2 overall. That deal was one of two deals that the Eagles used to get to that spot. They originally picked 13. But when moving from 7, they agreed to trade their first round pick overall, with number 8, their third round and fourth round pick from the same year, their first round pick the following year, and a 2 the year after that. So a 1, 3, 4, next year's 1, and 2 years after 2 was the deal that the Eagles spent to go from 8 to 2 for Wentz. So they did not get 3 1s as a part of the package that we are romanticizing for the Bears. But I think this is important to kind of contextualize historically what these trades have looked like.
Can we talk about the idea that like they're just openly admitting now? I mean, it's not like coming from the Bears official Twitter account, but like it doesn't do them any favors for there to be a tweet out there that says that they're leaning towards moving the pick.
Why not?
Because it's February 27th.
Yeah, if I were the Bears, I would want other teams to have as much time as possible to panic and to overreact to this and blow it and overpay and drum up the feeding frenzy. I'd be sitting there on the edge of the boat throwing more chum in the water, trying to get the sharks all riled up.
But this isn't the good kind of chum, would be my contention.
Go ahead. Explain yourself.
If other teams know that you are leaning towards moving the pick, I think you'll get lowballed. You need to be acting from a position of, we're thinking about keeping the pick. We might trade Justin. The Justin Fields rumors is the type of chum that helps them more than this type of chum helps them, in my opinion.
I guess it depends. You're looking for teams to fall into. You're trying to facilitate as much chaos as possible, right? You are agents of chaos as the Chicago Bears, because the more uncertainty that you can facilitate, the better chance you have of an open bidding. The question is whether your point of view, Chris, is what is the reality of the situation based on the quarterbacks that are available in this year's class, or if the reality of the situation is there is a team out there that is going to fall so far head over heels in love with one of these quarterbacks that they will pay the golden egg to go up and get him. And if they want to incur zero risk, because what we know can't happen is a team can't come up to number 2, or a team can't come up to number 3 prematurely. If you do, you open the door for the Bears to bounce out of that spot and allow you to get jumped for the player that you want.
Oh, I don't know. I think that exact scenario would benefit the Bears greatly.
I agree it would benefit the Bears, but if I'm a team that's trading up for a quarterback, I can't trade to 2 or 3 and trust I'm going to get my guy, because now the Bears are going to have that pick open season for anybody that wants to get over me for that.
Sure,
pick.
Sure, but it does increase the price tag for those teams. You arbitrarily now reset the market. By moving up to 2, yes, you open the door for a team to go to 1 and slam the door shut on you, but you also, by doing that, increase the price tag for that team to move up.
I think what really helps the Bears, in addition to what Kyle said there, I love that with the, like, another opportunity to keep teams twisting in the wind, is that I am not of the belief that teams in need of quarterbacks are going to have multiple that they're comfortable getting. I think this is the type of year where you really kind of fall for your guy And because all four of the perceived top guys, Richardson, Levis, Young, Stroud, are so different from a skill set and personality perspective, that you're not willing to do what the Jets did and get to three and said, we can live with what's available, or even what the 49ers did, even though we kind of knew that it was going to be Lawrence and Wilson 1-2. I don't think you're going to put yourself in a position to maybe get the guy you like, because I don't think you're going to like multiple or can live with multiple.
Because the outcomes of what your team is going to look like with each of them,
yes,
is dramatically different.
And I could see you being convinced on any number of directions, but I don't think you'll be convinced in multiple.
Right. Because there's not a lot of overlap with
Bryce Young. They're so different, man.
Anticipation and accuracy versus CJ Stroud being a player who I think probably has the highest floor. I don't want to say he's the safest one, but he feels like the highest floor player.
He's got the most baseline ability across the board.
Right. To be a universal type of player. And then you have Levis, who's played in two Shanahan-style systems, and you've got Richardson, who's an alien as a player, who you ideally would love to use and weaponize in the quarterback run game and take vertical shots down the field and be plus one in the box and really facilitate low numbers on the back end of your defense, because you got to fit the run against this guy who can tuck and run at you against you at any point, and what that does to the numbers on the back end and how you're going to cover on the defensive side of the ball. Can anybody name the two trades that have happened historically since 2009 for a team coming outside the top 10 into the top 5 for a quarterback?
Rams moved up to get Goff.
And they came
and
up
Bills and
from
Bills. Josh Allen.
No, inside the top 5.
Oh, okay, so they got the 7. Okay, so it's 49ers and Rams. 12-3 and like 15-1 or whatever.
Oh, you know what? The 49ers was after I wrote this, so they're not in here. So there's three trades. The 49ers, okay. And they gave three ones. They gave a mountain. The 49ers might have given the most out of any team in this exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd have to actually count up the values of the picks that they traded, but they gave up the moon. You mentioned Jared Goff and the Rams, and the Rams went up to number one overall from the 16th overall pick.
Dude, it was far back, man. It's far back.
So it was 2016 1, two twos in 2016, a three in 2016, a 2017 1-3.
Mm-hmm. So there's another one. Is it like super far back, or is it? Is it Mark Sanchez? It's the Jets.
It is Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was the weird
one. And then
there's
the Julio Jones trade, which is not for a quarterback, but fits the criteria otherwise.
So the Jets went up to 5 from 17 with a 2 and 3 veteran players. Right, Chris, can you name the veteran players that were sent as a part of the Mark Sanchez deal?
Oh, God.
What team was it with? I cannot remember.
It was with the Browns.
Atlanta? The Browns.
With the Browns.
Wait, three players and a 2 got this done? Unbelievable. Right. I can't wait to... Can I help?
It's a testament to the quarterback class of that year, which
like
I think
Braylon
is really
Edwards?
Fascinating. No, it's no, not no. Braylon Edwards, no.
Why do I feel like Vernon Golston was in that trade?
There is a defensive end that was a part of the deal, but Vernon Golston was not it.
What year was this trade again? Like 2006?
This was 2009.
Okay. Good gosh.
You know, my 2009 Jets roster history is not really, you know.
Calvin Pace? I mean, who?
Easy. Be respectful. Man. Calvin was on
Jets,
a couple of those
Jets
teams.
Jets legend,
yeah,
Calvin
be
Pace.
Be respectful.
Dude could get after the quarterback a little bit.
Who the right, heck were these players,
bad.
Man?
They weren't very good players, I'll tell you that, Joe.
I would be willing to bet you've probably only definitively heard of one or two of the players.
Hold on.
Give me
this way. I'm going to look up the 2008 New York Jets roster and see if I can do it that way. Let me see if I can get it here.
There is a quarterback and two defensive players.
A quarterback?
Oh, they yeeted Kellen Clemens. They said, Kellen, get the F out of here.
Was not a part of the deal.
Darn it.
What?
Wow.
It wasn't?
Wow, that hurt.
No, so then it was they only had so somebody else. Brett Favre and Kellen Clemens were the two quarterbacks.
Because Brad Smith was their third quarterback, but he was on the team. He's been on the team.
Joe got the name. Joe got the first name right.
Brett
Kellen Clemens.
Brett.
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 Is the name of one of the players?
Yes, of the quarterback.
Smith.
No.
Brett. This might not happen, brother. I don't know.
Oh, they Brett traded. Ratliff. They traded. Abram Elam was in the deal.
Abram Elam was in the deal. That's correct. I just acknowledged Brett Ratliff was the quarterback.
Kenyon Coleman was in the deal.
Kenyon Coleman was defensive.
Wait, this got the deal done?
I'm looking at the Jets roster and I'm like, that guy Coleman was in the two?
Wait a minute.
17, a two, Kenyon Coleman, Abram Elam, and Brett Ratliff.
That got it done?
From 17 to 5.
Mike Tannenbaum out here just making moves.
Jeez, they didn't give up anything. That's incredible.
It was by far the lowest amount of pick value traded, 1,330 points versus 3,300, 3,101, 4,110, 2,717, and 3,560 were the other trades as of 2019, plus the 49ers deal.
And by the way,
was three ones.
They looked like freaking geniuses. They went to the AFC Championship game the following season.
Twice. Yeah, twice. My favorite part of this entire conversation is that I was able to relearn that Ty Law not only played for the Jets in 2008.
Legend.
But it was his second stint with the Jets.
Ty Law, Jets legend.
So he was originally with the Jets and then
he was with the Patriots from 95 to 2004. Then one season with the Jets in 05. Two with Kansas City in 06 and 07.
And then came back.
And then back to
back
the Jets.
To the Jets.
That's right, baby.
And then one season in Denver, we're calling it a Hall of Fame career.
Man.
Unbelievable. Man.
Imagine being disrespectful to Calvin Pace, who had 8 sacks in 2009. Disrespectful.
How was I disrespectful? I thought he might have been part of the trade. I just knew that he was on the Jets.
Considering the caliber of talent that was traded, I think it is disrespectful to Calvin Pace.
So I think the important thing to note here is there were two trades out of all of these since 2009 for a quarterback into the top five that involved three first-round picks. The 49ers moving up to 3 with Miami and Washington moving up from 6 to 2 for RG3. Those are the only two deals that have gotten three ones. I am more inclined to think because of the specificity of all the quarterbacks in this class, the Bears are less likely to get three ones as a result.
Which means you're on my side.
I am on your side, yes.
Two ones.
Well, the
three
twos. Ones for me is if they go back to 9 or further. It's not 4 or Raiders. You know, it's late. It's those.
Well, can I segue us?
It's because 9.
We have the latest mock draft over at TDN from Damian Parson, and he has a trade to the number one spot involving a team inside the top five.
Okay.
So does he have the pick compensation?
He does.
Let's hear.
With the number one overall pick, the Indianapolis Colts selected Anthony Richardson, quarterback from Florida, with the number one overall pick.
Hello!
Yikes.
You want to guess what they gave up before I tell you?
4. Next year's 1.
Okay, 4 is part of the deal, yes. Next year's one part of the deal, yes.
They're early 2.
35.
35. They're 3 this year.
You probably should have just stopped thinking after you ended the last statement. The 2 ones and the number 35. That's it. That's the deal. That's the deal.
If I was a Bears fan, I'd be pissed.
I wouldn't be happy.
So you're only really netting a pick 35 in next year's one?
Yeah.
Right. 30,
that's all you're really netting.
Also, 35 is just kind of making up for the dumb Chase Claypool trade. So really, how great did you get here? You added a 1.
Yeah, I wouldn't love it.
I'd be pissed. Yeah. I'd be pissed if a Bears fan and I moved out a 1 for that.
Number 2, the Houston Texans select Bryce Young, quarterback from Alabama. Oh, okay. Kyle's using one of his 3.
Aggressively calling a timeout.
Yep.
What did the Bears trade to go up and get Fields?
Oh, what a great question.
Just a first-round pick next year, right?
Was there any picks in the same class?
Stand by. Imagine thinking putting Justin Fields trade into the Google machine would get you anything. Yeah, from
that's going to take you a lot of idiot. Losses.
You absolute buffoon.
Yeah, sorry. Stand by. I'm in here. They traded up with the New York Giants in exchange for the 20th overall pick, their fifth round pick in 2021, and their first and fourth round picks in 2022. That was the trade.
So
one, a four, and a five was the net.
And they moved out of one and got a one and a two. I need more. Yeah, more. Yeah.
Bryce Young, the pick at number two to the Houston Texans.
Chris, you'll appreciate this reference. Ryback.
Feed me more. Feed me more
Feed
picks.
Feed me more.
The Arizona Cardinals at pick number three select Jalen Carter, interior defensive lineman from Georgia. The Bears, okay, now sitting at number four, they select Will Anderson Jr., edge from Alabama. And the Seattle Seahawks at number five select Tyree Wilson, edge from Texas Tech.
So we only get two quarterbacks here. So Stroud and Levis are still on the board.
Just wait. They're going to go pretty quickly here in the next couple of picks.
Yeah, I'd say we're probably going to get a quarterback at seven, and we're probably going to go to quarterback at nine.
You get a quarterback at six and a quarterback at seven.
So a trade up?
The Carolina Panthers trade up.
There you go. I got the teams right. Leave me alone.
So Carolina moves up to six. Detroit falls back to number nine. They also get pick 93 and a 2024 first-round pick. Okay, Kyle's using his second.
I'm using my second timeout.
Aggressively using his second timeout.
You could make an argument from the picks involved.
From a value perspective,
the
Detroit
Lions got
did
a better
than the,
trade than Chicago. Because it was a 3-1, right?
Yeah, 93-1.
But the value of like the 6th/9th overall pick in the draft is like less than half of the value of the first overall pick.
And based on the player they got at nine, they did pretty well here.
Okay. So
you use your 30. That's it. You're
I only got it's
one
just
remaining.
A 30.
And be careful. You can't. You have a challenge, but then you would burn your last time out. So be careful.
If I get it wrong, I'd burn the timeout.
Will Levis, the quarterback at number six for the Carolina Panthers. The Raiders at pick seven select C.J. Stroud, quarterback from Ohio State. The Atlanta Falcons
come true for the Raiders.
The Atlanta Falcons at number eight select Christian Gonzalez, corner from Oregon. At number nine, the Lions, after making the trade, select Joey Porter Jr., corner from Penn State. And at number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles select Devin Witherspoon, corner from Illinois.
That defensive line run kind of hurts the Falcons at eight.
Yes.
You know, like they, but maybe they should have. I don't think Miles Murphy has been picked, so maybe that would have been
the way to go there.
I am too, but I just feel like they need big people. Need trenches.
Gonzalez is a big corner.
He is. Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
And we got a corner run here. We went Gonzalez, Porter,
Witherspoon.
That's correct.
Yeah, three to end the
top 10 corners. Wow.
At number 11, the Tennessee Titans select Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia.
That's their dream. That's their dream.
The Houston Texans at number 12 select Miles Murphy, edge from Clemson. At number 13, the New York Jets select Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle from Ohio State. 14, the New England Patriots select Quentin Johnston, wide receiver from TCU. Mm. And at number 15, the Green Bay Packers select Brian Branch, safety from Alabama.
Two thoughts here. First of all, I think it'd be a nightmare scenario for Quentin Johnston to go to the Patriots. And I think Quentin Johnston could be a good NFL player. I just hate that fit. And then
why do you hate that fit?
I just feel like they've never been able to really maximize that type of skill set with consistency.
And that's a fair statement. I think about how they're probably going to try to play, right? And it's like, we want to establish the run and we'll take shots outside. And it's like, okay, but like, you're not going to be a volume player in the offense with how they play. And that's the concern, right? Is if you're taking shots down the field, are they high percentage throws? No. You're still going to be a run first offense. I think he can be productive in that offense, but I don't think he's anywhere near maximizing his potential as an NFL player to go play in that offense.
As a fan of a rival team, please pick Quentin Johnston and not Jordan Addison. Please, please do that. What's with all the? I see a lot of. I've been seeing more Brian Branch to the Packers lately.
What is it? Is it Amos is a...
He is.
Free agent. Channing...
And Darnell Savage didn't have a good year,
was
right?
In Minnesota this year, so never mind. Savage really felt like he regressed this year.
And they love versatility, right? We know that's what the Packers like in their DBs. Okay, I get it. It's like, man, I feel like he just needs so much more help in other places.
They do. Good player, though. But he's a great... For my money, he's one of the 10 best players in this class.
Yeah.
And they'd move him around enough to weaponize him, so I'm good with
There's a lot of... Kyle, I don't know if you're seeing this, but there's a lot of corner talk for Brian Branch. Like drafting him as a corner.
And only helps.
This was kind of the big thing, because Daniel Jeremiah came out and said that his top safety is Jair Brown out of Penn State, and a lot of justification for that came with the understanding that Brian Branch was labeled as a corner for DJ.
Not apples to apples, but this feels a little bit like the Dax Hill conversation that we had a year ago. If we could use him in multiple spots, he creates more value for you.
And the Minka conversation from 100 years ago.
I didn't want to do that to my friend. But
and the...
he's a big boy.
Jalen Ramsey got that too, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good call. Yep. Is he a safety or is he a corner? Yeah.
Oh, that was a real thing. Future Vikings great Jalen Ramsey.
Is that where he's going?
It's just a guess.
Is that in the mock?
No, I'm just guessing.
They're going to replace Pat Pete with Ramsey.
There's a Rams conversation worth having soon, but I don't want to hijack this one.
Good call, okay. Joe.
I love that.
DeJuan
Jones, the selection at 16 for the Washington Commanders. At 17, Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle from Pittsburgh. At 18, Lucas Van Ness, the edge from Iowa to the Detroit Lions. Keely Ringo, the pick at 19 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Jackson Smith and Jigba, the pick at number 20 for the Seattle Seahawks.
Love JSN for Seattle.
Yeah, I do too.
Hate Ringo to the Bucs.
Although it's kind of their type of guy, right?
It is their type of guy, but I think predictably it's something that could very realistically happen. But man, would I not be enthusiastic about that being the pick for them unless they are of the transitional year mindset, which they might be. It's hard to say. You know, they're certainly talking about giving Kyle Trask a run at quarterback. I saw it was reported they told coordinators that Kyle Trask would be given a chance to compete for the starting job, in which case my expectations for the Bucs are not so great.
Pick number 21, forfeited by the Miami Dolphins. Pick number 22, the Los Angeles Chargers select Luke Musgrave, tight end out of Oregon State. At 23, the Baltimore Ravens select Jordan Addison, wide receiver from USC. 24, the Minnesota Vikings select Deontay Banks, corner from Maryland. And at 25, Jacksonville select Clark Phillips III, cornerback from Utah.
I've been seeing more and more corners mocked to
Jacksonville.
The Jaguars. Yeah. And they just paid Darius Williams and Shaq Griffin. Tyson Campbell had a really good year. So, like, where's the path here for them to invest a first-round pick in a corner that actually plays?
They need offensive linemen desperately. Yeah. I mean, their guard situation's not good. They're potentially losing Jawan Taylor in free agency. You could say, okay, well, Walker Little's going to step in one of those spots. Great. Go ahead. You need another tight end. You need an inline player, a tight end, I should say.
Roy Roberts and Harrison $10 million a season, man. That was like a weird extension over the weekend. Like, wait, what?
They're another team I don't think would hurt from getting another versatile safety either.
No, I think Wingard's Wingard's up. Yeah. Cisco looked good. Jenkins has been okay.
What's the ceiling of Andrew Wingard anyway?
Not special teamer.
Right. Ideally, he's a special teams guy. So I think a third safety, I think Jenkins and Cisco is a pretty solid duo.
Yeah, you could roll with that for sure.
But if you get a third, if you want to put a DB in Jacksonville, I'd much rather draft a safety than draft a corner.
I think what's hard, maybe a little bit hard for Jacksonville is their needs versus value. I think they need interior rush. Okay, well, who are we picking here at 25 that achieves that? The offensive tackle conversation is really where it gets interesting for me, and that's where I think maybe the play would have been.
Tight end. Give Michael Mayer.
There's also that.
Give Michael Mayer.
Dougie P and 12 personnel.
Right?
Go get one. Even if you bring back Ingram, you can flex him, do all kinds of stuff.
Pick number 26, the New York Giants select Cam Smith, corner from South Carolina. Ooh. The Dallas Cowboys at pick 27 select Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College. 28, the Buffalo Bills select Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas. 29, the Cincinnati Bengals select Anton Harrison, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. The New Orleans Saints at 30 select Brian Bresee, interior defensive lineman from Clemson. The Philadelphia Eagles at 31 select Josh Downs, wide receiver, North Carolina. And folks, I hope you're sitting down. 32, the Kansas City Chiefs select Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame.
Ah, the Noah Gray disrespect.
We didn't get John Michael
Schmitz
in here.
There's a lot to unpack here in the back here. No. No, no JMS. Every corner got drafted that could, I think.
Right. I think we got Deontay Banks. We got Clark Phillips. We got Cam Smith.
Yeah. Okay, so Bijan's not, like, he should not get this far. Is it just that hard to pick somewhere to put him?
No.
That we're talking about him going in the last four picks of the first round?
No.
Like, I just don't feel like predictively we should be thinking about this.
Okay, so you got Atlanta at 8. Regardless of whether or not it will actually happen. Landing spots for Bijan Robinson.
Raiders at 7.
Well, the Raiders are going to pick a quarterback. CJ Stroud's in your lap. Okay, that's fine. I'm game. You pick the quarterback. Atlanta at 8, Philadelphia at 10, 15,
16.
Who's
16? Washington.
Washington.
Don't rule out the Lions, who have a couple picks in there.
Detroit at 18. I mean, the Vikings are talking about getting rid of Dalvin Cook.
That'd be weird.
Baltimore, 23.
He's just too good of a talent to be there at 28.
I might bet they box at Bill Bars. See if he's down.
He's going to have to accept it.
Right. Well, let's see if he's down.
Take it. Yeah.
I'll say top 20 for Bijan. I mean, somebody's going to say, you know what? Value's too good. Fall in love with him. Especially if he's not a top five pick. So now, like, the challenge with guys like Saquon Barkley going in the top five at running back is the way the rookie wage scale lines up. Those guys are still top of market running backs the second they step on an NFL field. So I get it. You don't want to spend a top five pick because you're concerned about the financials and paying top of market player for a rookie. Like, okay, but you get into the teens, you're stealing.
Man, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs are top 25 NFL draft picks, but Bijan Robinson's not. I don't get it, guys.
Bet Damon box of Bill Bars. If he wants to accept.
What else in this back? I mean, Bresee to the Saints at 30 feels like a nice pick.
Yeah.
What about the Eagles going Josh Downs? Like, do they need a third receiver that bad?
Well, they took Witherspoon at 10. They've got...
They did?
Got expiring contracts at defensive end. Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh came in there and ended up eating up significant snaps on the interior.
Yeah, they played a ton of defensive linemen this year.
They would have loved to have Brazil on the board for them at 31. I can tell you that.
That would have been a slam dunk. Yeah, slam dunk.
TJ Edwards and Kaiser White, I believe, are expiring contracts at linebacker.
Could have been a Drew Sanders spot, although we know how he's not going to pick a running back or a linebacker.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's an expiring contract at safety.
I just don't know if the third receiver at 31, maybe at some point, 31.
You know, they are in the same light of they're not going to pick a linebacker. Okay, well, like, Jahmyr Gibbs is out there and Miles Sanders is an expiring contract as well.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac Seumalo and Andre Dillard are expiring contracts on the offensive line. So I mentioned Dillard because if Seumalo leaves and you bring back Dillard, you can have Dillard play inside at guard, but he's leaving too. So, like, you're going to have an opening at guard. I agree. I think about the needs for Philadelphia, and if you're going to stay ahead of the curve on where you are dismissing talent, I think we could have found some other picks. You want to make anything of Mayer at 32 or 31 before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to hate, like, you got a good player. Good job. But for Kansas City, who, I mean, I don't know, like, Noel Gray was pretty good tight end too. Travis Kelce probably just had his best season. All indications are that he's having a lot of fun, and I don't like think he's slowing down anytime soon. I think you have potentially need to replace two tackles, if not a definitely one offensive tackle this year. I think you can help at receiver. I think you could still find more defensive line help. I mean, just so many other ways I'd go as opposed to getting my tight end too.
Joe is mad online at Damian Parson for his last eight picks. We'll just leave it at that.
I appreciate the creative look at this thing, but for I sure. got some exceptions that I take with this. I mean,
okay.
So that's what we're here for, man. We're here to break down the mock draft, and the guy discourse. Has no ability to be here and defend himself.
Right. Discourse. You know? We're just here for the discourse.
Yeah.
Cockraps, Joe Bruno, Chris Schubert. Appreciate everybody checking out the show. Thanks to your friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the podcast. Make it a great rest of your Monday, and we will talk with you all again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com. Or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.